This podcast was recorded Thursday, August 6th at 11:11 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like Kanye West will run for president.
Really? I thought he was already running for president.
What a world. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those snollygosters or shrewd politicians who look out for themselves first and then you and I next. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up later in the podcast, the latest in the investigation into Larry Householder and the nuclear bailout law. And Amy Acton has a new job.
Yes, she does. But first, it has been a year and a few days now, since a gunman killed 9 people and injured 27 others in the Oregon district of Dayton. Remember the days after that shooting? Here's some sound to jog your memory.
What we do tonight by this amazing crowd is to say to them that we love you. We care very, very deeply about you.
Some chanted, "Do something." And they were absolutely right. We must do something. And that is exactly what we are going to do.
I'm personally embarrassed that it has been up to the Democrats alone to be calling for some of these very common sense, simple solutions that don't do anything to violate anyone's Second Amendment rights.
That was, of course, the sound of people at a Dayton vigil demanding Governor DeWine to do something about gun violence. Governor DeWine promising to do something. And State Senator Peggy Lehner of the Dayton area saying she and her fellow Republicans need to pass minimal regulations to try to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people. And here's what's happened. All right, that's not quite fair. That's not quite fair. There were proposals, and then this happened.
Not much.
Nothing.
Nothing has happened.
There were some proposals, but nothing's happened. We have the same exact gun laws today as we had in the days after the Dayton shooting.
Yeah, I'm going to take credit for pointing this out. When things don't happen with gun control in the immediate aftermath of a mass shooting, they don't generally happen. There has to be strong political will to get them done immediately, while the public is on their side, while lawmakers have a harder time voting against the elements of this strong Ohio plan, which we can get into more. But they have to act then, or it doesn't happen.
And it looked like there might be some political will to change things. If you recall, Governor DeWine, we heard the soundbite just a couple minutes ago, in the days after the shooting and a day after the crowd told him to do something, he released a 17-point plan. The big items were it would have included stronger mandatory background checks for sales at gun shows and gun sales over the internet. And he also called for a red flag law that would allow police to temporarily confiscate the guns of people that were deemed dangerous.
Yeah, and these proposals, which about 90% of Americans support in polls, did not make it into legislation. DeWine actually proposed legislation called Strong Ohio, as I mentioned. In that package, no mandatory background check expansion, but it would have set up a voluntary program to incentivize private sellers to do background checks. It also would have expanded authority to hospitalize someone deemed in danger to themselves or others and increased penalties for current gun law violations.
There were a couple other bills. One was sponsored by Senator Peggy Lehner, who we just heard from. That would increase the age to legally purchase a gun to 21. Another bill sponsored by a Democrat in Central Ohio would have instituted a red flag law that would allow police to confiscate the guns of a dangerous person. But those bills have gone nowhere.
Right, but lawmakers do continue debating a so-called stand your ground bill that would remove the duty to retreat before you can use lethal force in self-defense.
Yeah, Mike DeWine used one of his COVID-19 briefings to mark the anniversary. He had a moment of silence. Very poignant. And he announced a pilot program that would try to prevent people from getting a gun if they have an outstanding warrant. It was sort of an easier system to track warrants, which
it's a pretty low bar.
The bar is on the floor.
People with outstanding warrants can't buy a gun. I mean, that's a no crap law.
Yeah. Well, that's the current law. And that's what gun advocates argue is that we have laws on the book. We just need to enforce them. Other people say that we need to go just a bit further. But, you know, in lawmakers' defense, we have had a pandemic this year. Mm-hmm. So they have not been in session as often. They had to deal with an economic collapse after the state shut down. So we have to cut them a little bit of slack starting in February. Okay, I'll even say February 1st. But the shootings in Dayton happened on August 4th. Nothing happened between August 4th and February 1st when the pandemic started to emerge.
This is what happens when you have extremely gerrymandered districts because, as you said, polls show that a large majority of Ohioans support things like expanded background checks. They support what they call common sense gun reforms. And it can't get done because these districts are so gerrymandered that they don't elect people who support gun reforms.
We
have an extremely conservative legislature, even though we're a slightly red but pretty close to purple state. But there's no way that any gun reforms can get done.
Yeah, even stuff that, as you mentioned, that 90 to 95% of Americans, that 86% of Republicans support mandatory universal background checks. 85% of Republican voters support that. And the lawmakers do not want to infringe on the Second Amendment rights at all because they're afraid if they pass one piece of legislation that will lead to another one and it will lead to eventually, they fear, the outright banning of guns.
Yeah, in the aftermath of the Dayton shooting, we did see some gun rights groups working with DeWine, like the Buckeye Firearms Association. They've since walked back some of their support.
It didn't last long.
Yeah, and you have even farther right groups like Ohio Gun Owners who are just, they have likened the Buckeye Firearms Association to the enemy for working with DeWine. And so it just shows you the divide that there is even among gun rights groups.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know what it's going to take.
It's not going to take anything. I don't know how this is. We live in a gun country. We have a gun culture, and you know we talk about sometimes the view from Richwood.
Yeah,
I promise you that 95.
Richwood is the Richwood County town where you live.
Yeah, it's in far.
For new listeners.
It's in northern Union County, and I promise you that 95% of residents there don't want mandatory background checks. They just, it's a very rural area. Gun culture is more of a thing. People go hunting. People go skeet shooting, and they don't see guns as problematic, and that those people represent a base of the Republican Party that's needed in these gerrymandered districts to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard for lawmakers to become lawmakers if they're outwardly pro-gun control.
Yeah. I mean, I have a feeling if you were to explain to somebody who is a legal, law-abiding gun owner, has guns for protection, maybe a handgun for protection, and has rifles and shotguns for hunting, that say, here's all we want to do. We want to just make sure that folks, when they go to buy a gun, that they are supposed to have a gun. They don't have any serious mental illness in their past. They don't have any criminal convictions in their past. That they're the proper age. They're not buying the gun for somebody else. I don't see anyone would have a problem with that if that's all it was. I think what happens is that the hype the NRA pushes out said, well, if you pass that, you know what's next? You know, Obama's going to take your guns away or Biden's going to take your guns away.
A common phrase is regulation leads to confiscation.
Yep.
I hear that a lot.
Yep.
When I tell, you know, if I'm at the Dollar General, right, what's more rural Ohio than a Dollar General in Richwood, Ohio? If I was trying to tell someone there about what Peggy Lehner deems as sensible gun laws, they would think they are the precursor to confiscation.
Yeah, because of the politics and the
right.
And what they see in social media, right. What they see in the ads, what they talk about at the Dollar General, at the barbershop, things like that.
Yeah, it's not a ideology rooted in fact. It's almost religious in nature.
And I think that it could be a generational change. I don't see any change in 20, 25 years.
And we really thought that Dayton was the one that would get big things done.
No, I never thought that. No, Sandy Hook, nothing happened after Sandy Hook. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It seemed that there was more of a moment after
Dayton.
There
was a moment.
And as I've said, that you need to strike when the iron, if you're a pro-gun control person, you need to strike when the iron is hot. That's your only hope of getting something done. And there seemed to be more momentum than usual with Dayton in Ohio. But
There was for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then, as what often happens, it just sort of fades into the background. These bills are still out there. Legislature has another 6 months, 5 or 6 months left to pass stuff. But barring another, God forbid, another shooting like Dayton in Ohio, I don't see them doing anything. And even then, like I said, after if you can't pass gun legislation after first graders are gunned down in their school, I don't see the American politicians doing it.
We'll be right back.
On All Sides with Ann Fisher, we cover the topics that affect life in Central Ohio, from immigration to the economy to the continuing opioid crisis.
But the reality is if you don't save someone who's overdosed, they have no opportunity to recover.
Hear thoughtful, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter now. Subscribe to the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. As we said, nothing major happening in the world of Ohio politics this week, but we will get you up to speed. Larry Householder and the fallout from House Bill 6. This is a story that's been playing out for about 2 weeks now. He has been indicted by a federal jury on bribery charges and a racketeering indictment that prosecutors call likely the largest bribery scheme ever perpetrated against the people of Ohio. Nothing major going on. Bob Kupp was elected the new House Speaker last week, and no new traction, nothing new on the Householder case at this point.
Yeah, last week we had the indictment, the official indictment from the grand jury, and we learned a few more details in the indictment, and then Bob Kupp became Speaker. And lawmakers are basically on break right now, partly because of it's August and partly because of the pandemic. They're not doing much work. So there's been talk of repealing and replacing House Bill 6. I do not see them repealing House Bill 6. I think they will pass other legislation that may help out other portions of Ohio's energy industry, renewables, solar, wind, throw a bone to the natural gas industry to say, look, we hear you. We've made House Bill 6 better. It's not just a giveaway to First Energy and its subsidiary. But I don't see it being repealed, because if it's repealed, then they're going to have to replace it to save those 4,000 jobs up in northern Ohio and keep those plants running, says First Energy or whatever their new harbor. Energy Harbor. I keep wanting to say Harbor Freight.
Great store. I like that store.
It is a good store. Can you imagine if you're a Republican lawmaker
and you have
voting
to
for the nuclear bailout bill again?
Yeah, that's pretty bad optics.
That's not going to happen. I don't want to take that vote.
It's a pretty radioactive topic at this point, pun intended. But it's not something that lawmakers want to attach themselves to, right? Do you really want to be the lawmaker reintroducing House Bill 6?
No.
It's
not going to happen. I think they'll pass another bill to tweak it, maybe line it with some better transparency or attempts at better transparency on campaign donations. Speaking of the investigation, I hosted a forum this week at the Columbus Metropolitan Club. Mark Weaver, a longtime political analyst, a friend of WOSU, was a Republican, worked in the Justice Department under President Reagan, worked at the Attorney General's office under Betty Montgomery here in Ohio. He says two things. One is this investigation is going to take a long time. He expects other people to be charged, including folks from First Energy or from the business side. And he does not think many of these cases will go to trial. So there'll be a lot of plea agreements. And if that happens, we may not know the full story unless it goes to trial.
I want to hear the full story.
Yeah, I think you got to root for a trial then.
I know. Also this week, Amy Acton, Ohio's favorite public health expert, is out of the DeWine administration completely. In June, she quit as health director to become a health advisor to Governor DeWine. Now she has left that job to return to the Columbus Foundation to be, sounds like a demotion to me, the director of Kind Columbus, which is dedicated to spreading the words and actions of kindness as a defining value for the region.
I wonder how Snollygoster would fit into Kind Columbus. You know, we're just a little cynical, but we're still kind.
I'm like politicians who say they support education. I support kindness, right? I mean, I'm pro-kind. I think people should be kind, but what?
I think it's a good match. Amy Acton seems like a very kind person.
She really does seem like a sweet person. And
yes. I ain't buying that she left the DeWine administration because of pressure. I'm going to say it right now. I'm not buying it. I think she left the DeWine administration because she was having differences of opinion with the DeWine administration over health policy.
That may be.
Don't know that for sure, but that's my educated guess.
I'll tell you, we could have given our Snollygoster of the Week award to the Columbus Foundation, because who else is going to be able to raise money like Amy Acton?
Oh, I know.
What a face to put on any effort.
Well, she worked there before, so she's been
right.
trained there, yeah.
Yeah, no, she's got connections there. She's not just an outsider they're poaching, but like, what a face to put on your marketing campaign.
I mean, she is the face of kindness. Objectively speaking, she is the face of kindness.
Yeah, she's the face of public health, that's for sure. I mean, she's a rock star in Ohio.
I don't think she'll be talking about public health, though.
You drive through Bexley here in central Ohio. There are all kinds of Dr. Amy Acton fan club signs still.
Yeah. No, she's a star. And there was talk that she would run for office, but I don't think that's in the cards either.
Also, I don't know if you know, Mike, but 2020 is an election year.
Really?
We're going to pick a – it's almost easy to forget, right? We're going to pick a president just about 90 days. We got a new poll this week from Your Voice Ohio. That's a media collaborative. Shows Joe Biden with a narrow lead, still within the margin of error.
Just barely, yeah. It's right on the edge. He had to get like a 3 or 4 point lead, so it's barely within the margin of error. Yeah. But, you know, that's his, quote, biggest lead in the polls we've had. He's been down by one, up by one in recent polls, and now he has a slight lead.
Just like Hillary Clinton in 2016.
She had about a 3 point lead, I guess, going in maybe.
She had a lead. I don't know exactly
what it was. Within the margin of error was, anyway, she lost by eight, so the polls were wrong there. Biden's going to spend a lot of money in TV ads around the country, and he's going to spend money here in Ohio. So both candidates are going to spend money.
Trump already spending money. Already.
Well, he's committed to spending money. You reserve the time. Whether you spend the money is remains to be seen.
He's going to hold that time slot.
Yeah. He's not. It's funny. He's going to spend money in Ohio, but he has not bought the same amount of time in Michigan.
Yeah. As we speak, he's getting close to speaking, if he's not already. In Clyde, Ohio, up in northern Ohio, there's a Whirlpool plant where they make appliances, and he's going to be there, and then he's going to a fundraiser in Cleveland today. So he is dipping his toe, at least in Ohio. I mean, he's coming through.
He should. He should not give up on Ohio. I believe this race will be extremely close, and I would say he probably still is the favorite in Ohio. The Republicans have the political infrastructure here. He remains popular in a large portion of the state. If I had to put $5 on the table right now, I would say Donald Trump wins Ohio. Michigan, Pennsylvania, different stories, but Donald Trump should stay in Ohio. He should not give up on this state.
Turning now to our Snollygoster of the Week award. It's where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the week. This week, it goes to a man who may be on the Ohio ballot in the race for president, and we're not even sure he wants to be there or wants the job. Certainly does not stand a chance of winning.
Really? Anyway, Kanye West, his supporters this week filed signatures to get him on the ballot as an independent candidate here in Ohio. We don't quite know who his supporters are. The signatures were submitted by an associate with the law firm Isaac Wiles, which has strong ties to the Republican Party. In other states, reporters have discovered the people submitting Kanye West signatures were longtime Republican operatives. So what do you think is going
on
here,
Steve? An age-old effort to divide to separate the black vote from the Democratic vote?
No, the Republican convention is coming up. Do you think this is a move to get Kanye West to replace Donald Trump as the Republican nominee?
I do not think that, no.
No? Okay.
I think it's a backhanded effort by Republicans to try to turn black voters against Joe Biden.
That's a long shot, don't you think?
That would work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a long shot that it would work. But I think in a state like Ohio where it's such – where every poll is close or within the margin of error, I don't put it past anyone.
Okay. I'm a white guy. You're a white guy. Mm-hmm. So it's dangerous to put ourselves in the shoes of an African-American voter.
Right.
I kind of would be offended if somebody thought that you could get my vote by putting Kanye West on the ballot and I would vote for that person.
Why do you
Joe
think
Biden.
Republicans are backing Kanye West for president?
Oh, I'm sure. I know that why they're doing it. But I'm just saying, isn't it insulting to the African-American voter to think that you could just put a pop star on there and because he's African-American and that's going to get their vote?
I don't think optics are the most important thing in modern politics. We have a president who, as I've liked to say, is the first politician in my lifetime who has ever just been like, F you, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
I don't. We don't have any other facts on this. I mean, there's no other logical explanation, I would say.
Yeah, we're not seeing, you know, draft Kanye signs out there. We're not seeing Kanye West out there really saying, I want to be president of the United States. That's a kind of a good signal that you want to be president of the United States when you actually say, I would like to be president of the United States. He hasn't said that specifically, has he? I'll be honest. I have not been following Kanye West too closely.
I haven't seen his campaign speeches. I know he's running for president.
Okay. All right. Kanye 2020.
Anyway, that will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. Thanks to Kanye West for giving us some good material for this week. Kanye is... it's not my favorite. He's not my favorite artist, but a supremely talented guy.
No doubt.
And
he's a wonderful musician.
He might have some creative policies. I know he floated the idea of giving $1 million to everyone who had a baby. So it was his way of doing away with abortion.
But, you know, grandkids.
Yeah.
So we're leaving you with some Kanye if you haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, anyway, thanks Kanye for the material this week. Until next week, if you have a suggestion for our Snollygoster of the Week, send it to snollygoster@wosu.org. And as always, thanks to our student producer, Jack Long, our audio engineer, audio genius that is, Eric French, and to our web producer as well, Michael DeBonis. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. Y'all got a pen, we all went to den, and then I had to pay. If you f***ing with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why?